Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All this past week, we've heard a lot from new Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson's point of view. His inaugural address stirred more than a few people at Credit Union One Arena. And during the week, we heard him discuss the migrant influx and more. But what about folks with a more conservative view? Not so much. Well, this weekend, we're going to try to correct that. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. My guests this weekend include the heads of two conservative-leaning political think tanks. Ted Dabrowski is president of Wirepoints. It's an entity that does research and offers public analysis of governments and policies. Also with us is Matt Papracki, the president and CEO of the Illinois Policy Institute. That's a free market group that's been influential in some GOP circles and a Republican gubernatorial administration, in fact. And I thank both of you for being here. I also should say I invited a leader in the business community to join us, but wouldn't you know it, at the end of session activities in the Illinois legislature in Springfield, though all of those things required him to be there and not here. That does not mean we're going to ignore the concerns and needs of business in this discussion, but let's start with overall impressions. We had a long campaign that gave all the parties, including now Mayor Brandon Johnson, a chance to define themselves, and the new mayor set the tone for his new administration with a high-spirited inaugural address. Ted Dabrowski, what are the things that struck you the most as we start this 4 years of the Johnson administration?
Well, number one, you know, I thought from a speech perspective, he was really impressive in his ability to manage the room, to create hope within the groups that he manages, let's call it. He was quite inspirational. You can see why he won. He is really good at managing the crowd and getting his message out. So, kudos to him for being able to do that. And that's a leadership power. But of course, from our perspective, it's that power and how he uses it that will define, how Chicago ends up. And, my big concern is not what he said on the campaign trail so much as what he said before the campaign trail. And of course, how he's led the Chicago Teachers Union. And so, the big concern for us, look, we lead the country in homicides. So he's, made lots of claims about police being racist. So that's a huge concern. How will he manage policing? Because we believe that we need, really good policing and good prosecutions, good sentencing. If we don't get that, we won't control crime. I'm really worried about the schools. We have one out of every 10 Black kids can read. Only one out of every 20 Black kids can do math at grade level. So that's a real big concern because the CTU has all the power. I'm worried about, treating criminals as victims. So there's a lot of, I could go on, his attack on corporations that they cause poverty and crime. There's a lot that he's going to have to figure out how to manage because we live in a world where people can move now very easily. We're seeing Chicago lose population 2 years in a row right now. So if he's not careful, doubling down on the things that have gotten Chicago in trouble can make things much worse.
And I should point out, since there's no one from the CPS here, the Chicago Public Schools, they probably would quibble with some of the statistics, but everyone acknowledges that there are some deficiencies within the Chicago Public Schools.
Craig, can I just one point? Sure. All that data that I quoted is directly from the Chicago Public Schools website, just for clarity.
Okay. Matt Papracki, what are the things that concern you the most about as we go into this, and also what may be signs of hope?
Yeah, let me start by saying, I hope Mayor Johnson is successful. I live in Chicago. I bought a house in the city of Chicago after he got elected. I hope that he's wildly successful. I think Illinois is one of the greatest cities and one of the greatest states in the history of the world. And I want this to be a place that businesses want to come to, that families want to plant their roots and live here for their lives. I want jobs to be created and flourish inside of this city. So I think I am rooting for this mayor, and I hope that he is wildly successful. Oftentimes we look at this as, you know, here's a conservative point of view or a liberal point of view. That's just not the case. This is our city, right? He's our mayor. We win or we lose together. And we're all in the same boat together. And so the question that I'm looking at with the mayor right now is, how do we translate between his rhetoric into what actually happens? You know, because I think the first point is, look, I'll be the first to say, I didn't vote for Mayor Johnson, but nor did the majority of the population in the city of Chicago. I mean, if you look at by population, he got 11% of the overall votes. You know, my daughter, she's 5 years old. She didn't vote for Mayor Johnson, but that's still her mayor, right? And what he has the responsibility to do now is not lead on the one out of every 10 people who did vote for him in the city, but lead for the 90% of people who didn't, right? For all of us, so that they have safe schools to go to, so they have quality education, so that there's jobs and businesses and everything is flourishing here. And so that's the question is how will he actually govern? You know, my dad always taught me, judge people by their actions, not by their words. And that's what we're going to see. And I'll say that the first couple of days have been tough. We had 12 homicides this last weekend in the city of Chicago. We haven't heard one thing from Mayor Johnson talking about what he's going to go do to go protect these kids. A new report just came out recently that said that if you live in a poor community in the city of Chicago, there's a 50% chance that you will see a friend get shot before you reach the age of 18. That is devastating. More kids have a greater probability of seeing a friend get shot in some areas than graduating high school, right? That needs to change. And so what I'm going to be looking for and continue to look for is what places does he start showing that he's going to focus attention on that? And we saw in his first week, right off the bat, his ally said, first we get the money, right? Let's raise taxes by $12 million. And Brandon Johnson said, I got to walk this back. We had his floor leader who came out and said, Lori Lightfoot did not do a good transition of power. And Mayor Johnson had to walk that back immediately. So he's starting to get his feet and he's stumbling a little bit. But what I'm really going to be watching for is what are his actions and what moves does he make to actually make Chicago a place where all people, not just the people who voted for him, not just the special interests that he's representing, but all people are represented.
Let's talk a little bit about some of what you were talking about, because is this an issue of the mayor stumbling, or are some of his supporters, to use the phrase I saw in one of the stories, leaning over their skis a little too far because they are working for him? And some of them, frankly, the people who put out the report that had the $12 billion in revenue suggestions, that group intentionally was trying to put the pressure on him. Is that just something that we're expect, Ted? Is that something that we should kind of expect, that progressives are going to want the mayor to move more in their direction now that he is in office?
Well, yeah, let's be clear. The mayor got elected, you know, in grand part. And of course, I talked about his ability to bring people together. That's certainly key. But a grand part of that, and, you know, IPI did a great job of bringing this to life, was the support of the unions, the CTU, the SEIU. They gave him the overwhelming majority of their funds. It's not like he had a bunch of grassroots small amounts. These were big, big names. Of course, the big progressive groups who have a big agenda, you know, a climate agenda, you know, the social justice agenda. So they got him in power. These are very powerful people, very powerful groups, and they know what they want. And Brandon Johnson, you know, as a candidate, took the money. He got elected. Now he's going to have to answer to them. The question is going to be, as Matt said, you know, what are his actions? You know, my big concern about Brandon is that, you know, he has aligned himself with the CTU for a long time. He's got a record. This is not a man who doesn't have a record. He's got a record, and he's got you know, quite a bit on video. So we know what he thinks and what he says. You look back at the schools when he was teaching at one of the, I guess it was a magnet school, but he said that he didn't like it. Wanted to stop reduced testing, didn't hand out Fs, didn't like the testing, things like that. So, he's out there. And then once he's been with the CTU, he's helped organize the CTU in grand manner. He's been a leader. He owns it. So he's going to have a hard time. Now, yes, those groups are going to pressure him to get what they want, whether it's things like affordable housing or climate things. But he's in their camp, and they're going to demand it of him. And if you look at that, $12 billion report that you just mentioned, within there, there's $500 million in cuts to the police. So he's going to have a really hard time, balancing between some of the pressures that groups like us might put, if he's willing to listen to them, and of course the demands of his own groups. He's going to be in a big spot. But he's those are the people he danced with.
Matt, are you concerned that those who are surrounding him are going to sway him? Or, I mean, and during the campaign, when he was asked about that, his answer was, I am the only one who can, because I have been part of them, I'm the one that can say to them, no, you can't have that. We can't afford that right now. And they've got to believe me, because if I tell it to them, then they have to believe. So does that persuade you, Matt?
I hope so, right? I hope he's right, and I hope that he restrains spending. But based on who he's placing in his administration, and as Ted said, 95% of all of his funds came from government unions. And then he's putting them all in there in his administration. And the concern that I have, it's not a union issue. It is specifically the Chicago Teachers Union, who now runs this administration with Brandon, is the focus isn't about kids, right? And I think that's something that's really concerning to me, is the conversation, when he just signed the executive order making a deputy mayor of labor, it was, how can we have somebody to create more bureaucracy so that more administrators can get more money? It wasn't looking at, how about these poor kids who are stuck in environments where they're not learning how to read? I have a friend of mine. Her name is Jalen. She lives on the South Side, and she was 8 years old the first time she saw a classmate get shot. She was eight, and she walked out of the school that day. She walks into the playground. She's with her best friends. Everybody's laughing, and she hears two noises, and they're bullets. And Jalen gets scared, and she runs home. She goes to her mom. She sits on her mom's lap, and she's crying, right? She just saw a friend get shot at school, and she's crying. And her mom says to her, Jalen, next time this happens at school, for your own safety, don't run home to me. Lay on the ground till the police get there. That's who I want to hear them standing up for, right? Girls like Jalen, who all of a sudden have to watch their violence, and their mother has to tell them the next time this happens. Because to me, I hear that and I go, no, there won't be a next time, right? And so where I strongly disagree with the Chicago Teachers Union, I want to be talking about Jalen. I want to be talking about lifting these kids up. I want to talk about, how do we create the best educational experience for their lives so that they can do whatever they dream, that what their mother doesn't have to teach them, what their mother should be teaching them is, how can you do whatever you want? Not, how do you avoid getting shot after school? That's where I disagree with the Chicago Teachers Union. That's where I think Brandon Johnson has a real opportunity to be a leader and step up and say, look, I'm no longer fighting for the administration. I'm no longer fighting for the bureaucracy. You know who I'm fighting for? The kids.
Ted Dabrowski, how does he do that? What do you want to see? And both of you can sound off on this, but what do you want to see? Let's take the schools for now. Coming from the schools, what could be different or be made to be different?
Well, I'll tell you, number one, and this is not just a Chicago thing, it's an Illinois thing. But I would love to hear Brandon Johnson say, this sounds silly because I'm saying the opposite of what he's been saying, so I don't expect him to do it, but this is what I would love. He said that some of this testing is part of eugenics. He says it is racist, that it's promoting white supremacy. And so he wants to get rid of testing. I look at it the opposite. And, again, we can quibble over what testing is good and bad. I would love to hear the opposite. When I see only one of 10 Black kids in Chicago public schools reading at grade level and one of 20 doing math, I would love for him to be the leader tomorrow, the education leader, and say, we are going to obsess about literacy at Chicago public schools. We're going to get all of our resources, forget most things. Let's get our teachers, our parents, our volunteers, get the corporate community. We're all going to take this from 1 out of 10 to 3 out of 10, you know, in 2 years, 5 out of 10 in 5 years, whatever that metric is, and obsess and have everybody measure the heck out of those tests and see if we can get our kids reading. Because if our, you know, if our Black children or Hispanic children and our white children, you know, if they can't read at grade level in the third grade, they are doomed for life. Not every one of them, of course, people make it, but they are doomed. And so that would be my obsession about education. Make it about reading and, of course, math. They've got to have the core subjects. And that would be a big signal to me that he was willing to change. But I want to hear a signal, not the same thing that we've heard before. So it's a massive investment in reading.
Well, and investment, there's the word that we need, though, there. That means more money, doesn't it?
Craig, sorry to interrupt you. We spend $29,000 per student at CPS right now. We spend massive amounts at CPS. The question is, and this would be a second thing for Brandon, would be, where is our money going? Let's make sure it's making it into the classroom, into our obsession of you know, teachers and their staff, their helpers, and reading. We don't need more money, Craig. And you know, Illinois spends the eighth most in education across the country. We're the eighth highest. Highest in the Midwest, we spend $6,000 more per student than Indiana does. So we spend massive amounts. We need to say, how do we spend our money better? Like any accountability system, you say, we're spending tons of money. Where the heck's it going? Let's obsess about spending it the right way.
You're listening to WBBM News Radio's At Issue. I'm Craig Delamore. We're considering a more conservative view of Chicago's progressive new mayor with Matt Papracki, the president and CEO of the Illinois Policy Institute, and Ted Dabrowski, president of Wire Points. There's so many things that we could spend so much time on. I do want to talk about what was the number one issue and which we've touched on, and that is crime. Matt Papracki, you say Chicago's future hinges on a commitment to improving public safety and affordability, and it's crucial that the new mayor champions that vision. How can he do that? What actions do you want to see?
So there's a lot of issues with crime, and do you remember that 1958, there was that fire at Our Lady of the Angels on the northwest side of Chicago? And it was this terrible fire. So a fire starts in this building, and these poor kids are stuck on the upper level of this school. And it gets to the point that the fire's outside, and kids start jumping out of the windows, right? Like from the third story, they start jumping out of the windows. And just to figure out how do they save their own lives. And in the way that, you know, we've heard from the rhetoric of Mayor Brandon Johnson, he's talking about the problem as if it's because people are jumping out of the building. But that's not the problem. That's not the problem we have in the city of Chicago right now. The issue is not that people are jumping out of the building. The problem is that there's a fire, right? And we've got to go focus our attention and go put out the fire. Now, you know, root causes of, you know, the fire that we're seeing, you know, number one, is education. If a kid graduates from school, if they graduate and they don't have the ability to read and write, what job can they go into? And I think that is that we need to be talking about that fire. But the other fire is jobs and creating pathways to great work. This is one of the places that, you know, I want to see what the mayor does on this. He said that they were going to create a bunch of summer jobs so that kids in bad areas could find opportunities. Again, we've seen no actual plan for this. We've heard rhetoric, but what I want to see the mayor doing on this is let's talk to businesses. Let's go stand up and say, look, we want you here and we want you creating jobs for these people in these communities and let's all work together. I want to see Brandon Johnson flying down to every other major city in America and making an argument to the businesses to say, come here, right? Come to Chicago. And it doesn't take much. We know this, right? All your listeners know this. Come to the city of Chicago, go walk on the lakefront or in the parks and see the thriving the business, the life that has here. This is one of the greatest cities ever to exist. So what we want is I want a mayor who's going to go out and fight for those businesses, who are going to go fight for those jobs, who are going to go fight for those kids. And when we do that, you know, the crime issues, that's how we go address it. There's a good friend of mine who's down in California, and he runs Father Greg Boyle. He runs this program that takes people who are formerly incarcerated in parts of gangs, and he gives them jobs. And so you have gang members sitting next to gang members working jobs, selling coffee, making T-shirts. And they don't fight and they don't go back to prison. And he says this line, he says, nothing stops a bullet faster than a job.
We hear that phrase a lot these days.
And he's right. He's right. So what I want to see is, let's not demonize business. Let's work with business. Let's incentivize business. Let's create more jobs. Let's create this thriving economy where everybody in every area can come here and work and find jobs and get a quality education. That's what's going to turn around the crime issues here in Chicago.
Ted Dabrowski, is that enough, or are there other things that you want to see? Because let's face it, we also have a police force where morale has been down for the last number of years. What do you add to this mix?
Yeah, you know, I think Matt's right. There's a lot to be said about at some point being positive about our city and selling it. But you know, before that, we have to start with one thing, and that's, you know, and Brandon Johnson does a really good job talking about root causes. But you know, there's two issues with crime. There's the root causes, which we know can take, and we've seen it, it can take decades to fix. And then there's the immediate tamping down on crime right now, and we're not doing that. I think we need to understand how bad things are. And, you know, we've done a good bit of the numbers on that at Wire Points. Number one is you're right, start with police morale. If police don't feel like they've got their backs watched, if they feel like they're the problem, they're not going to do a good job. And Brandon Johnson has to figure out how to be something that Lori Lightfoot couldn't do, and that's a backer of the police. So police morale, number one. And you know, beat cops are down 20% since Lightfoot took office. So we're missing our beat cops on the street. But number two, we got to get this chain of what we'd call the criminal justice system fixed. Right now, our arrest rates for major crimes, the seven major crimes, are at 5%. That means 95% of reported crimes go unarrested. So basically, there's no punishment for doing a crime. In fact, you probably have a pretty good incentive to go do crime. Number two, Kim Fox and team don't prosecute, and we've seen them push back against prosecution. We see felon after felon go back out on the street and do crimes. That can't happen. We were not going to get anybody's confidence, corporates, people, the cops, if they keep doing that. And of course, Judge Tim Evans has really backed up on sentencing. His change to largely eliminating bail has really left a mess. And then, so you've got companies like Walmart who can't handle the crime. You've got Guggenheim, who's now leaving. You, of course, had Citadel complain about the crime. And you know, McDonald's is a big one. We can't continue to ignore the problem. So Brandon Johnson, yes, talk about root causes all you want, but you better focus right now on the day-to-day crime that's happening right now. And if you don't arrest, convict, and prosecute, and sentence, it doesn't matter.
Even during the campaign, Brandon Johnson said part of his plan was hiring more detectives. That was the biggest part of his immediate crime plan. Is that one of the answers? And I will stipulate, because I say this all the time in this program, the problem of crime is so multi-level that people who think one person's going to come in with a magic wand and do one thing and solve the problem is lying to you. But is the hiring the more detectives one part of getting a handle on this?
So I think your point is right. Look, I mean, crime there's a variety of reasons why crime exists. But what we need is actual action on this cause. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I'm looking at in the future is, you know, what is the mayor's plan on any of this? So he says, okay, more detectives. Well, he's mayor now. Is he hiring more detectives? Is he going on ride-alongs with police? Is he talking to the police captains? Is he coming up with a plan to have a permanent police chief in place? You know, what is the plan for Memorial Day weekend? I mean, this is usually one of the most dangerous weekends in the city of Chicago for a year. I haven't heard anything on this front. And so, you know, now is the point of shifting from talk about, okay, well, let's get more detectives. What we need to see is a little bit less talk out of the current mayor and more action. Let's develop the plan. Let's implement the plan and let's see what happens. But if we're just, if constantly we're just allowing police to have, as we've talked about, low morale, we're not there to support them. We're not there to say, hey, where are the problems and how can we address it? Nothing's going to change.
We should point out, and before you go to, we are talking on Mayor Johnson's fifth day in office.
No question. No question. But I think people still are looking for that, right? Like when somebody goes and takes over the reins, and it's no different whether you're mayor or whether you're running an organization or whether you're the head of a household, right? What your family and what your business and what your city looks for is where are we going forward, right? So it might be the fifth day, but you know, what's the 100-day plan? What are we talking about on Memorial Day? Because these things, that's my ultimate concern, is that ultimately these things are predicated, the results of what's going to happen in our city are predicated based on action. And part of that is telling everybody, here's what we're going to do. And so instead of, you know, while I wish the antidote to all of these problems is love, as he said, I hope that there's more love and all of these problems get solved. But what we actually need is, I think out of all of the things that we talk about, how crime is multifaceted, I mean, certainly love, I hope that happens, but we need actual plans. And so, yes, we are early on. Yes, it is 5 days, but when you're the leader, he's the leader of our city. And part of a leader is showing your vision, telling people what you're going to go do and execute.
Ted Dabrowski.
Yeah, Craig, I wanted to just add there. Look, to the question of 200 more detectives. Yeah, I mean, everything else equal, 200 detectives is better. But we have to remember that if you have a failing system, adding more people doesn't help. Same thing at CPS. You can add as many people as you want, but if the system is broken or corrupted, it doesn't
work. That's right.
Work.
That's right.
So,
yeah, Ted, can I jump in? That's such a great point Ted has. I recently, and this is based on research that WirePoint did a fantastic job, but I went over and visited this school called Chicago Hope Academy in West Garfield Park. And it's a small private school. And you walk in the doors, and I think it's 95% of the people who go to school there are low income. And you see these banners, and it's for Brown, and it's for Harvard, it's for Notre Dame and University of Illinois. And they're packed. You go down the street, and there's a school called Manly. Manly was built for 3,000 kids. Today, the current enrollment is 70. Right, there's 80 administrators and teachers in the school. So they have more, as Ted's point, they have more teachers and administrators than students. One out of every four kids will graduate from this school. Can you imagine?
Let Ted get back in because we're almost out of time.
Yeah. Well, so the accountability issues is one. And so this is a big, look, this is why 400,000 high priority police 911 calls went unanswered. 400,000, that included 15,000 assaults in progress, 14,000 domestic battery, 1,000 people shot. It's a failed system. So what I think the other thing that needs to be talked about, and we won't have time here, but I think the whole equity discussion, which has become so prominent in everything, is we talk about equity and we drop the word merit. So, you know, we can add as many police officers as we want, but if we don't say we're going to arrest them, if we don't prosecute them, if we don't sentence them, then it's a revolving door. And policemen, you can add as many policemen as you want, but the policemen know that guy, if I arrest him, I'm taking a risk for trying to get him. He'll be out in the street tomorrow. Why bother? So therefore, that's why we're having these problems. I really think that this whole equity discussion needs to be replaced by merit, competence, achievement, excellence.
And that's going to have to be our final word because we are indeed out of time. This is one of the faster half hours I've been part of, and we'll have to do this again sometime, maybe into the administration when we start seeing some of these plans, because I know some of them are in fact being worked out. I would like to thank Ted Dabrowski, president of WirePoints, and Matt Papracki, who's the president and CEO of the Illinois Policy Institute, for spending this time with us. To our listeners, if you'd like a copy of this program or just to hear it again, please visit our website, wbbmnewsradio.com. There's a link on the homepage. You can also find our podcasts on odyssey.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm Craig Delamore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.